You're listening to Inkspeak, where storytelling and poetry meet the wonder and magic of living. I'm your captain, author, poet, and unearther of life, Maverick Malone. There's a quote by Anaïs Nin that goes, "I'm restless. Things are calling me away. My hair is being pulled by the stars again." How beautiful is that? I wanted to open with this because this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at perpetually, truthfully, and I know many of us feel like this, but I would say I feel like this 90% of the time. And what's interesting about that, what's validating about that, is that it's in my human design chart and it's in my astrology. In human design, I have the full 35-36 channel, which is all about transitoriness. The 35 is the gate of change and the 36 is something else, but because I'm in a place right now without cell service, I can't Google it right now. And then there's my Gemini sun, which is all about curiosity and exploring. And what is a Gemini's nemesis? Boredom. I am always craving more and I'm always craving the new experiences. It's actually why I don't typically revisit any of the same Airbnbs. I mean, it would really have to strike me for me to visit it twice. I would have to fall absolutely, utterly over the moon home run in love for me to go back to an Airbnb or to a place that I've been before. Not because I didn't enjoy the experience, but simply because I've already experienced it. And I know how much else is out there. So going back to a place that I know I've already experienced is just like, but there's like 500 million other options that I can choose from. Also, I have this problem at restaurants too. I'm that person that likes to order a whole bunch of different things and like share food because, you know, I need variety in my life, basically. You know, it's kind of a been there, done that thing. Doing things for me is like checking it off of a list and immediately I'm moving on to the next, which is very Gemini of me, right? And it's so interesting because years ago, the person that I was before in my former life, basically, I was obsessed with Disney World and it still occupies a special place in my heart. But literally any chance I got, anytime I got even a couple days off when I could make it work, I would drive or fly down to Orlando to get my fix. And it helped that I had friends that lived in Orlando. And there's a lot tied to that. It wasn't just because I love Disney, but I loved what it stood for and how it made me feel. But it was basically me always taking the same kind of vacation. Go to Florida, go to Disney World. And I'm still a big Florida girl at heart. That state, just as a whole, like the state parks there alone, the beaches, the museums, I love it. And honestly, I never get tired of it. But I do crave new experiences. I solo travel a whole lot, and I think I came into this world like bitten to the bone by the travel bug and have such a hunger for seeing the world and experiencing other cultures, cuisine, people, places, experiences. It's fascinating. There's this whole world right here, right outside my window. And yet at times I feel so incredibly trapped. It feels just beyond my reach. It's when, I guess, those gates in my human design chart get activated, or more often than not, when I just start feeling that cagey feeling, you know, and I feel the stars are kind of pulling me, like that quote, pulling me, propelling me, uprooting my feet and saying, go out and find whatever it is that you need, which brings me to where I am right now, alone, well, with my dog, Leo, because he's with me a lot when I road trip, and I'm staying at a little red caboose in the middle of a field somewhere in Alabama because I came here on a whim. And it all kind of led to this. This was the push I needed to be like, okay, I think it's time to kick off season 2 of the podcast. So welcome back to season 2, everyone. Well, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to season 2. This is season 2 of Inkspeak. I'm your captain, Maverick Malone, or conductor, I guess I should say, for today's episode because I am in a train car. And this is the first episode of season 2. How many times can I say season 2? At least one more time, right? How has everyone's summer been? What have you been up to since we last got together? I will catch you up a little bit on what's been going on for me. And like I said, I'm in this little Airbnb. It's a very small space. If there is any background noise, it's either my dog or the air conditioner. I don't know how this audio quality is going to translate, but here we go. So I'm going to catch you a little bit up on what I've been doing. Let's see. I guess my biggest news since the last episode is that I am now officially hosting my own spoken word open mic here in Chattanooga, which is such a mind fuck, let me tell you. Because if you are a longtime listener and have been here since the beginning, you know that public speaking was a big, big fear for me, like numero uno. If anyone ever asked me to do anything involving being in front of a group, a crowd, an audience, I would be like, hell no, nope, absolutely not, no thank you, next. But keyword here, used to be that way. But then I started going to a local poetry open mic here. And some of you, if you've been here since the beginning, you already know this story, but I started going to that in April of 2022 and started getting my feet wet with things like that, with being in front of people and especially sharing my art, sharing my poetry publicly. And I kind of found out, like, hey, you know what? I kind of like this. And I kept going back and back and back. And eventually I was like, hey, you know what? I kind of want to do this for a living. And over time, I got way more comfortable with being seen, being me, doing my thing. But never in a million years did I think I would host my own open mic. And I don't think it's going to be like a super long-term thing. I'm definitely someone finding out this anyway. I'm someone who would rather kind of be the entertainment than like the host of said thing. I like being up there and like sharing my own personal art rather than kind of facilitating. But what I really like about this is it's a lesson for me. It's a practice round. It's an incubator. It's a place where I can really kind of hone my skills and get more comfortable with this. And I'm going to have episodes on this specifically because it's in the beginning when like nobody is showing up for you and you're showing up to these empty rooms almost that you really are proving to yourself. Like, how much do you believe in yourself? How much is this worth to you? So I wanted to mention that a little bit. Have you ever heard like that little inspirational quote or phrase? It goes something like, your name is being mentioned in rooms that your feet haven't even entered into yet. It's something in that vein. That's kind of how this happened for me, this hosting gig. This is also another thing in human design where I see my profile lines in action. I'm a 2-4, which is the hermit opportunist. So the 4 line is all about networks and connections and community. And those that opportunities for me come naturally through the connections that I make. So when a friend I'd known for about a year or so reached out to me and said, hey, the place I work at now is looking to start an open mic. And I immediately thought of you. I put your name out there. Do you want to host it? And my immediate knee-jerk response was yes. I love that because years ago, even just 1 year ago, it would have been no. It would have just been a flat out immediate, no, I'm not ready for that. I don't think so. And just all the fear, anxiety, and limiting beliefs that come with that. And while I still had reservations about it, could I do it? Was I ready for it? Et cetera, et cetera. All those little whisperings tied to imposter syndrome. My inner voice was loudest and was shouting at me like, say yes, say yes, say yes, say yes. So I listened and I said, yes. I'm sure my spirit guides were off in the distance cheering and clapping like, thank God she's finally learning her lessons and taking chances instead of eye rolling and face palming like I know they do sometimes. And we had our first event back in June. It was a pride event, which was so beautiful. It's all about authenticity and inclusion and diversity. And y'all, that is my jam. That is my jelly. That is my bread and butter and my croissant and my whole entire bakery. Bravery to just be yourself, be the youest version of you. And if that triggers some people, good, they can get over it because that ain't your problem, honey bun, that's on them. But I was so nervous that first time, so nervous, like anything we do for the first time. And I'm still nervous. I've only done it 3 times since it's only once a month, a once a month event, but I know I'll get better if I keep trying. And every time I keep saying yes to something, like saying yes to being on the radio here in Hits 96, or I was on the radio briefly for just like a very short segment to promote the open mic and my poetry. And I never would have gotten that chance if I turned down the opportunity to host. It's just one thing always leading the next. Don't you owe it to yourself to see where that rabbit goes, right? Like, aren't you curious? My curiosity is full on curating this show. So that first time, I showed up in my sparkly outfit because I don't half-ass anything. My outfits are just a part of, as much a part of like my, I don't want to say shtick because it's literally just me. I wear these fun outfits just because that's me. I express myself so much through clothing. But I showed up in this fun outfit because the whole theme was just be yourself, pride, and all these things rainbow. So I'm in my gold sequin duster and this bright electric blue crop top, cut off white jean shorts, and rainbow wedges. Yes, like where the wedge part of the heel is rainbow. And my captain's hat, of course. And I'm hanging out before it starts, and there's not a lot of people there, but overall it was a great turnout for a first event. And I give these little 5 to 6 minute speeches before each one to kind of open the floor and set the tone. And something really, another like layer of this mindfuckery that I have with what my life is and is becoming, how everything keeps evolving, is that I'm writing longer and longer form things. I've always written really long poetry, which does not make it, it's not conducive to Instagram at all. And that kind of evolved to Substack and my podcast. But then at some point I started writing speeches, like full on speeches. And then I was having these ideas of like, what if I would become a public speaker? I think I might actually want to do that, be some sort of like motivational speaker or however that is going to manifest in my life. But the point is I was exploring that. I was letting it in. And some of these things that I've written, these really long form speeches, are really, really beautiful. And I like to do that at these open mics. I give these little, I don't even really know if these are, you could call these speeches, they're just kind of motivational, I don't know. I don't really know what to call them. But it's like, I like to take my time up there. If I'm the host, I'm gonna really set the scene. I want to encourage other people to come up and read and take their time and share their heart, share their art, share their authenticity, and just create a really beautiful space. So with that being said, I want to share the first thing that I wrote, I want to share the little speech that I read at the first ever open mic and share it on here, so it has another place to exist, because I want to hopefully reach more ears, because the message is important. So this is what I shared. Hey everyone, my name is Maverick Malone. Some of you already know me, some of you don't, but point blank, I'm a writer, a spoken word artist, and now host. And with this being the first ever one of these, I wanted to give a little speech, an opener to set the scene. I don't know, maybe I'll do this at each one of these, but I'm much better at processing my thoughts and emotions when I write them down. So I wrote them down, and I'm gonna read. Spoiler alert, there's usually a lot of unintentional rhyming. This is just part of my own authenticity. I'm still getting my sea legs, still learning how to speak, especially on the fly, especially in the moment from the heart. So bear with me as I try. First things first. I used to be terrified. Absolutely, oh my God, I'm gonna die kind of terrified of public speaking, of literally any kind. Couldn't even order my own fast food. Openly speaking to a group was something I swore I'd never do, and here I am going down that path for a living. Life has a strange and beautiful way of making you acknowledge your demons once you start believing. And I think it's important to open with that because this is the first open mic I've ever hosted. This is a big deal for me, saying yes to this thing. It was a big deal to me that I was even the person Alder first thought of when they said, hey, we're starting up an open mic night, do you want to be part of it? And the amazing thing about that was my knee-jerk response was yes. Despite all the fear I felt in my body, my desire to transcend that fear was greater. I've never done anything like this before, and I might fuck this up. I might stumble my way through this or still present as nervous or whatever, but I wanted to acknowledge that because I think it's important. This being the first one. I'm scared because I'm human. I've been afraid to open my mouth my entire life, and maybe like some of you at one point, I was afraid to be seen for who I was. To be visible, to be heard and noticed. On some level, we all go through this. But then I started going to Wanderlinger open mics back in 2022 after a long journey through divorce, among many other things, and rediscovered my love of words and had a total reclamation of my voice, of myself, honestly, of embracing my own love of who I am and who I was, who I have the delicious honor in this life, yet still to become. And going to those open mics, just getting up on stage to timidly and awkwardly read poems in the beginning, over time became this, that I'm someone who really enjoys sharing my story so publicly and being on stage in wild outfits and sharing my heart, because that means I get to encourage, inspire, and support others who need a little push like I did, who need a Peter Pan to clap as loud as they can, shouting, "I believe in you," because damn, ain't that the truth? We all need more of that. People who accept us as we are, saying, "Ted Lasso was on to something. Kindness is king." And when you really break it down, that's the pixie dust right there. Love, acceptance, kindness, opening our arms wide, cheering others from the sidelines, believing that who we are inside, no matter how we present, what we look like, that's the magic that makes us fly. The first time we ever do anything, it's scary. Some of you here might be reading and sharing for the first time ever, and I commend you on that. Vulnerability is a mega superpower. Some of you here might be doing or about to do other things in your life for the first time. The very theme behind today's open mic, pride, what that stands for, being authentically you, being your brightest self, not hiding from who you are and wanting to show that to the world, saying fuck you to fear. Really, we're all at an open mic every time we choose to embrace our authenticity. Every time we stop self-abandoning, when we say yes to doing the hard things, whether that is openly loving who you love, dressing how you want, choosing and creating the life you want because you alone desire it and want to make your own way in this world, and to do that from a place of love, those things can be really, really fucking hard when the rest of the world is telling you something different, just like it told me. Told me who to be, how much I should weigh, what I could eat, told me I could only be accepted if I believed certain things, if I hadn't apparently killed Jesus completely unbeknownst to me at 13, if I looked a certain way, acted a certain way, would only ever be loved if I fit in with society, outsourced myself to the demons of people-pleasing, put my light in a box and threw away the key. If I snuffed out that flame and silenced the voice inside of me. Standing out was not safe because I was running a script of fear that wasn't even my own. I felt invisible. I was different. Thought I'd never be accepted. But I made it. I'm still making it because I have faith in myself and I still have hope for humanity. This is why I now say with conviction that being different is a radical act. It's us. We who love ourselves so much, enough to be our biggest self, our weirdest, our most colorful, our most kind, our most accepting, our most open, our most free, unencumbered by what other people try to tell us, how much they try to stop us or strip us of our own power that reaches far beyond what they believe. We see sky, and the cage of their mind sees only darkness. That we the people, we are the light. We are the reason they hate themselves because we won't stoop to their level. We are why they turn their own inward hate outward because they're stuck in fear and lack, because they want what we have. Freedom. Freedom to be ourselves, to pick what we believe, to love who we love, to follow our own inner voice, to choose. We are in charge of our own lives, these beautiful, full, and vibrant lives. We are an example to everyone else what love and acceptance looks like, what's possible for humanity. We the people, we the future. That's why it's so imperative to be you. Be no one but you. And that version is going to change. It's supposed to. But it's always just an upgrade, more and more love. It allows for more and more of you. We do that enough, and it allows for more and more of others to find who they are. We need people like you with big, bold, beautiful ideas, doing this shit differently in the way that only you came here to do it, challenging this world on what it thinks everyone should be, pushing back on small-minded beliefs, because the world needs diversity and it needs a hell of a lot more love. It needs brightness, and my God, who better to bring the brightness, the sparkles, the fun than, well, a fabulous drag queen for one. My God, please give me all the style tips. I'm jealous, but two, the whole LGBTQ+ community. That is fucking bravery at its core. You are the real knights of this world. To be wholly yourself and embrace all of that when so many, especially in the South, are spitting lies of how wrong they think you are. But being yourself is never wrong. They just can't look at themselves, at who they are. I want to say this. When you're facing adversity or just downright prejudice and cruelty from other people who can't see the enormity of your bigness, that when the world tells you to go home, you go even bigger. Cover yourself in sequins, sparkle, and glitter, that when those people try to put their own hatred onto you, remember, it's exactly that. It's their own hate, their own demons, not yours. There's a quote that goes, "I am not what you think I am. You are what you think I am." Hate begets hate, so meet it with love and kindness as much as possible and keep shining. Embracing your authenticity and being even more of who you are is truly the best weapon. Keep loving whoever you want to love and gay their self-righteous prey away loudly, proudly, publicly, and challenge the norm. Stand through the storm because there are allies that are with you. One of them is right here, right now, and I have no doubt that I'm going to keep spreading that message megaphone style loud. So I felt that was important to say, that fear, no matter what yours is, be it standing on a stage to speak and be seen, or kissing your lover in public, or fighting your own demons, or even admitting maybe to yourself for the first time that you're different and embracing that, it's okay to be scared. We're all scared, but we can be scared together and we can keep loving through all of those hard moments. We can be afraid and do what we need to do anyway because we believe in truth, authenticity, and equality. What makes us different makes us beautiful, and how fucking boring would it be if we were all the same? Unsubscribe, snooze fest, capital L lame. Today is about love. Really, every day is about love for me, but today, the floor is open to speaking about love. Any and all kinds of love, and about the struggles of what it's like to be you because we need your story and your truth. It's about acceptance, about diversity, about your personal experiences, about your willingness and desire to change the world, or as a poetry friend so eloquently put it, this chaos pinball machine. It's about rewriting it with colorful definitions to shape it into a more open-minded and loving place, a better place. Hopefully with more sequins, because we don't have enough of that either. So with that, I just want to say thank you to showing up today for a great cause and being one more courageous person in this world, one more person willing to be who you are and lead the rainbow parade of change, who holds love and acceptance as a core value, who's willing to beat fear at its own game. And I think that each one of us staring that snarling beast in the face and making waves in our own lakes together, it's how this world has changed. And it starts right here with you, with me, with your voice and your powerful words shining on a stage. And what I love about that night and the two that followed, those open mic nights, is that even though they were small and at times filled with a couple awkward silences where no one was getting up to read, was that people still were brave and eventually did. That I encouraged people to share whatever was on their heart and they did. That something I said inspired someone else to get up and be like, you know what, I'm going to go do that too. She can do it, I can do it. And that's what I want to do in this life with everything I do, is just be an example. Whatever I can do, you can do too. Like, I'm just showing you what's possible. My favorite parts of these nights is when I get that honor of witnessing a first-time reader, especially because I know what that feels like. It's so terrifying to get up in front of people. I mean, not just the getting up in front of people, but to do that, to get up in front of people to read or share or express something that is so personal. And just like in Peter Pan, when Tinkerbell is dying, we need other people to start clapping for us, saying, "I believe in you, you can do it." It really just takes that one person supporting and encouraging the hell out of you sometimes to get you to do the thing, to take that first leap. Just like I had that friend that pushed me on stage at that very first open mic, and now I'm here. And each time it gets a little bit easier. I have friends that have come to these events that are not poets or don't consider themselves to be. Really, anyone can be a poet. Poetry is just a synonym for being. We all are creative. We all have something of value to say, is basically what I'm trying to say. So it's just a vehicle for expressing yourself. But even those friends that they say they're not, "I'm not a writer, I don't know, what would I say?" But even those friends, they got up to share things. And I love that. I love that the event grows over time and more people are finding out about it, because I want it to be a sacred space, just like the other one that I've been going to for a couple of years now. It's filled with the kinds of people that are just good people. Like, if you put Ted Lasso, like, as a show, and you dumped that whole sentiment into a room of people, it's like those kind of people, like really feel-good, kind-hearted, good people. People that are open-minded and patient, and they're just there to listen and support other people and support others' creativity and art and listen and give their time and energy to that. People that just want to share that we're and understand that we're all co-creating in this chaos pinball machine. I love that line that a friend said in one of her poems. That's the kind of world I want to make, right? The kind of world I want to live in is one where we encourage each other's differences and we can be as weird and wild as we want, and we can make our strange art, our weird poems, and share it without fear of judgment. Where we're all accepted for who we are as we are, and we're continually clapping for each other. Which I do at poetry events, because I know at a lot of these, like, you're supposed to snap. I don't even know what the origins of that is. I'd be interested to read up on that. Where did that come from? But I think I came into this world missing that skill or something, because I just can't do it. I cannot snap my fingers. They just don't make that sound, despite how hard I've tried. So if you catch me at a show, I'm going to clap for you and probably, like, hoop and holler for you too. So aside from that and trying to hone my skills in front of a mic, I have also finished my manuscript for my third poetry collection. And y'all, this one is huge. The current word count is somewhere around 51,000 words. This is a book of poetry. I think this is, like, unheard of in the poetry world. Here we go, you know, breaking rules. And it's a love story. So it's my love story with Piano Man, like the story of my relationship, all told in verse. And I started writing it not long after I met him back in the summer of 2022. And I tell that story in the book, actually. Like, 90% of it is poems and prose, but there are also anecdotal backstories interspersed throughout the whole book, because some of the poems require that background information to, like, really understand what's going on in the poem or, like, why I wrote it. And the ending is a mic drop. That's all I'm going to say. You'll have to read it next year for the full story, because I'm just now moving into the long and arduous editing process. But the bulk text is done. It's 2.5 years worth of poems, some of the absolute most beautiful things I have ever written to date, because, you know, we're going to write even more beautiful poems to come. But if you are a hopeful romantic like I am, or you love a good rom-com or drama romance, if you're a fan of The Notebook, if you have any Libra placements whatsoever in your chart, if you are a lover of love like me, you will enjoy this book. I will keep you updated as I move along on that project. Also, if you're just, like, a fan of my work, my style, my voice, my storytelling, you will very much enjoy this book. And this is not a book that you will be able to just, like, devour in 30 minutes, like some of these little tiny poetry books, especially when we're talking about, like, micro poetry. No, sir. This is one you might want to do something like I'm doing, like, right now. Go rent yourself an Airbnb in the middle of nowhere. Take a good book with you and just, like, binge read for hours and hours and hours. Something else that I also started, which is exciting. You know, we're foraying into the new. Who is the new Maverick? And apparently the new Maverick is someone who takes more of a active role in, like, leading and starting shit, which is, you know, all about what a manifestor does. But this is me kind of really stepping into that role. So I also started a local meetup group for women and those who identify as women here in Chattanooga. And that is called Agora, which is a Greek term meaning gathering place. And agoras in ancient Greece were places where philosophers, artists, and tradesmen would kind of gather to exchange goods and ideas. And I was really looking for a specific kind of community here in Chattanooga, specifically niched for female creatives. And when I couldn't really find that, I decided to make it. So we meet once a month around town, and it's a space for making connections, building friendships, and just supporting one another. So, for example, if one of us is playing music and is, like, having a show or something, we'd share it in the group newsletter, all the details, and then get people together to go support that individual. Or if we put out a book, and then we can let others know about it so they can support and share it in whatever way that looks like, or come to a reading or something, so on and so forth. So some of these things we do is, like, just hanging out at a coffee shop together and play those conversation starter games or do silent book club, or I have ideas to do like a yoga class together or bring in our own talents and maybe have one of us do a tarot shop that teaches the others in the group about it, or a poetry workshop, things like that, where it's an exchange where we bring our unique gifts and share them in community. And it gets to be fun because we need more spaces like that, that foster connection. And I actually wrote that in a poem that Piano Man's mom, she was the one that inspired this poem because she, in a text, told me, "Great things happen when we sit in circles." This is a fire line, y'all. I love that so much. Loved it so much that I put it in a poem. You'll read that poem one day too. I've shared it, I think, on my Instagram at some point. And now I don't know in which anthology collection that it is going into. Probably the one that is all about women. It's a very like women-centric book, all about the female experience. Anyway, she said that. And I was like, I was taking that to heart so much. I was like, I want that space here. Because we need more spaces like that, that foster connection, especially for women to like tell our stories and share our journeys in a place where we won't be shamed or judged or mansplained to about it. Not to hate on men at all. I love men. Clearly, I wrote a book about one. But I think you know the kind of man that I'm talking about, where you share an experience and then all of a sudden they're making snap judgments or, you know, criticizing and things like that. And it's just like your experience is just totally instantly negated. Or it doesn't really feel safe to tell those stories sometimes in mixed company, even at open mics and stuff, which is, it's mixed, men, women, all the pronouns in between. There are some things, like I have a lot of really fiery feministy poetry, and also like some that are just very personal about the female experience, especially when you talk about body dysmorphia, eating disorders. And I think those pieces are more served to a larger audience where it's just like women centric. So we can really, it's going to resonate more with women, right? Some of these experiences are just that, like the female experience, motherhood, body issues. And we need others who can really resonate with what we're saying, who can empathize, because it's such a common experience. And I wish I had something like this when I was going through my divorce, a space like this. And that subsequent healing journey in 2021 and 2022. But I'm glad I did find similar spaces, most definitely in the online community. But Agora is special because it's face-to-face. That's the whole idea of the concept, is just in person. The whole idea is to take those connections and extend them beyond a screen. Online community is a blessing, but we need these in-person connections too. I think the COVID era really drove that idea home. It woke us up to how disconnected we had all gotten from ourselves, from others. I truly think we're on the precipice of a whole new era, and we're going to start seeing more community-based things like this, community-based events, whether it's just in the like housing sector or business or whatever. We're going to see more community, less me, 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 and more we. So having this pocket of that I'm creating and leading, like that feels really special to me. So if you're listening and you are a Chattanooga local, you can head to my Instagram at Mav Malone and click the link in my bio. That will take you to my link tree where you can sign up for the newsletters to get information on what Agora is, when the next meeting will be, etc., so that you can partake. I'd love to have you there. And if you're not local, the online version of this is basically Super Bloom Society that Danielle and I lead, and that's superbloomsociety.com or at Super Bloom Society on Instagram. We offer writing workshops, digital content, and in-person nature retreats. And we're currently, this is really exciting too, we are currently in the beginning, and I mean like the very beginning, stages of planning our first ever international retreat. Oh, because this is also something exciting that happened over the summers. I finally got my fucking passport. I finally got my passport in my new name, Maverick Malone. I've had that name legally. My name has been changed since 2022, and it's taken me this long to get my passport. So now that we got the passport out of the way, we're starting to plan some international retreats, but that won't be until probably like 2025 or 2026. So following us on that platform at Super Bloom Society on Instagram is the best place to stay informed of the goings on of that. Our retreats are absolutely magic. And the women that we attract into those spaces has just been phenomenal. Like chef's kiss. Incredible humans. Outside of that, you know, life has been lifing. And I had two consecutive days this weekend where I am not co-parenting. And I felt that itch, you know, that nudge, that, oh, here comes that desire and wanting to get out of town, to just go travel. But of course, I'm really trying to be better about saving money right now. So I couldn't go far and it needed to be cheap. So naturally, I do what I always do in that situation. And I jumped on the Airbnb app. Seriously, Airbnb, you guys should sponsor me. And I filtered for places less than like $150 a night and found one for $80. $80. Okay. It was like $120 maybe with taxes and all the bullshit fees. You know how it goes. But that's still really good. And it's not some little bare bones bunker or tent in the woods. This is really nice and a super cute little red caboose. Like I said, it's in the middle of this field. There's an outdoor shower and a little sitting area where I can go see the stars later tonight. I actually might shower when it's dark out so I can shower beneath the stars. Let's go ahead and check that off the bucket list. And I brought some coffee for the morning and a cinnamon roll, and I've got my books and my poetry, and oh, this is what I needed, y'all. And I don't even feel guilty about booking it and spending the money because I used a gift card from my job. So my total for this weekend was $15.50 plus whatever I spent on the cinnamon rolls and the little bit of gas that it took me to get here. So I have from now, it's about 5:19 as I record this, until 10 a.m. tomorrow, to spend soaking up nature, being out in this gorgeous open field at the end of summer, and I get to practice the art of doing nothing while traveling, which are two of my favorite things. I'm really trying to find that sweet spot of making that a career, you know? There's a Buddy Wakefield, who is my favorite spoken word artist. In one of his poems, he says, pretend that you live for a living. And that is literally what I'm trying to manifest. To just get paid for being myself. To do things like that. Trying to find that sweet spot of making that a career. Because writing is perfect for that. I just need to find a way to use it to generate income. And then marry all of these things together. Sharing my experiences. Getting paid to travel. Got to figure that one out. And keep pumping out books. Because this is my passion. This is the main thing I want to do in this life. Just write. Not market myself, not slowly kill my spirit with the social media rat race, not do all of the bullshit business stuff that authors are now expected to do. It's a whole thing. I have a whole lot of thoughts on the 600 hats authors are now expected to wear when putting out books, when all we want to do, legit all we want to do, is just write. We want to hole up in a fairy cottage at the end of the woods, get deep into our creativity, and like hobbit the shit out of ourselves. Hobbit away as we write out some incredible story. And then we'll reemerge and join society when we're ready. And our fairy book mother will appear to take care of all the boring shit that comes once a book manuscript has been written and edited to turn it into a bestseller. That's what I'm manifesting anyway. But for real, it's not about sales or money for me. That would be amazing one day to have income from it, but I do it, as most writers do, because I love it. Because I can't imagine doing anything else. Unfortunately, I have to do lots of other things right now, but doing things like this, writing and podcasting and working on this third book here in a cute little red caboose Airbnb somewhere in Alabama, it's a blessing. It's a good life. Then, you know, back into the mold of society we go on Monday, where everyone is expected to trade away their time for money while they do things they do that they just really don't want to be doing. I was thinking about that today, how we waste so much of our lives on the inside of a 9-to-5, staring out the far window of our cubicles or our offices, sighing and longing for more. Because we didn't incarnate into this life, especially not this day and age, this time, to spend 8 hours a day with our ass glued to a chair, staring at a spreadsheet and entering data or whatever. That's basically what I do at my job. And like I said, I'm so grateful for it. I have an absolute amazing schedule, awesome coworkers, awesome benefits and perks. But I just mean the overarching concept of work, and work here defined as doing things that are purely to make a means, that don't bring us joy. To pay the rent or the mortgage until we can figure out how to financially support ourselves using our soul's true gifts, our real purpose, the things we're really here to do in this life. Because, okay, if I had to come to Earth to do this, I work at a CPA firm, a tax firm for accounting, then I would have to come with, at the very least, a spark of joy for business, right? Or a knack for numbers. And I'm terrible at business. Not my calling in this life. It's the aspect of self-publishing, of self-employment, that drains me so much. I'm not great at bookkeeping or keeping track of sales and the whole rigmarole of the business side of selling books. It's so blah to me. Like, I'm so bored out of my mind by that. I'm just not good at it. Like, no, thank you. I just want to create and have the ideas and write the books and make the thing, make the art, continually starting new projects all the time. I need my fairy book mother. So if any of you would like to apply for that position, I am currently accepting applications. And really though, like who came up with the idea of the 8-hour workday and the 5-day work week? Because I would like to officially lodge a complaint. That shit is so outdated. It's 2024. We can all work remote by now. COVID showed us that. So why can't we make our own hours and schedules? 8 hours a day is entirely too much for me. I'm done like 4 hours in, unless it's something that excites the hell out of me. I could do this all day long. I have energy for this. This gives me energy rather than takes it away. Writing, podcasting, traveling, interviewing people, documenting, whatever else this is going to turn into, editing other people's books and helping them through the writing process. Oh, speaking of, that is also something I now offer. I feel like this episode is like very buzzy energy. I'm kind of jumping all over the place. But I have worked on 2 poetry collections so far for editing. So editing other people's collections. I'm also helping another one of my friends to edit her first poetry collection. And if you are looking for someone to edit your work and hype the absolute fuck out of you for that, hooray for you for deciding you want to put a book out into this world, whether it's a single poem or an entire collection, it doesn't even have to be poetry, then I would love to help. I have years of proofreading experience at my actual corporate job. I create and proofread engagement letters and invoices all day long. But my most relevant credential, one of them, credentials, plural, I should say, are the 2 published books that I put out, Press Petals and Hope and Other Beautiful Things, also available on the link on my Instagram. Or if you're local, they're at Culture Coffee, Winder Binder, Reeve Books, and Jolie Jardine. But I'm working with the owner of Poetry Rise, at Poetry Rise on Instagram, for editing services. So if you're looking for an editor, head to their Instagram or to thepoetryrise.com. Be sure to type in the beforehand because poetryrise.com takes you to someone else's website. But if you jump on there, you can see all the details and pricing, or just reach out to me directly. You can email me maverickl.malone@gmail.com. If you have a specific project in mind that doesn't necessarily fit with the services offered on the site, I'm excited to be branching out and seeing where all of that leads. That's the joy in life though, right? When we allow ourselves to take a chance and explore, whether it's deciding last minute to take an overnight trip to a small town or starting a new project or just sharing a poem. I know that's what season 2 of InkSpeak will lean me more into that of sharing, making those connections, having other people on the show to share their experiences, their joy, their pain, their wins, their losses. We all have a story to tell. I think we need more spaces to share them. And podcasting is great for that, but doesn't it seem like the big guys, you know, the really big name podcasts that everyone knows, all seem to be sharing the same stories, like interviewing the same people, talking about the same topics, and having the same guests across platforms? It's something I've noticed. What about the person you've never heard of, though? Like the little guy, the underdog, the undiscovered, the person the algorithm buries, the person next to you at the office, the woman making your morning coffee at the cafe. What are their stories? I'm grateful for spaces like podcasting, though. Another avenue for sharing things like this, a last-minute trip, what I did, where I went. Even if you're at home listening to this or at work, wherever you are, you're traveling too. You are on some journey. And the internal one is where it's at, man. It takes, that's the one that takes us all kinds of places, like all kinds of places, and forces us to grow. It's a wonderful thing. Even when it sucks, there's always a lesson. We take the poison and turn it into a positive. And that is just the pinnacle of power right there. Okay, so this episode has already gone on long enough, but I might hop back on here a little later and record some solo travel log stuff or do another guest book reading. We'll see. For now, I'm going to go heat up the Thai food that I brought and dive into the latest issue of The Walnut Branch, which is a local literary and art journal from Walnut Street Publishing, a local Chattanooga publishing company. It's a collection of art, written word, and photography from a large number of Chattanooga creatives. There's so much talent in this book, in this little journal. I think it comes out quarterly, so I guess four times a year. I have a photograph and a poem in the latest issue. And it is also available online. So even if you're not local and you're interested in this, go check it out. It's $10. You can order your copy online at walnutstreetpublishing.com. All right. That is my time for today, at least for now. I'm so glad to have you back and listening and joining in. And I hope that you stay connected this season, because season two is going to be really interesting with more interviews, sharing other people's stories. I hope that there's some plot twists and some surprises along the way. You know, what is life without some big, oh my God, moments, right? And a whole lot more about the writing journeys that people are on. And of course, more of my own shenanigans, travel stories, and writing news. So stay tuned. Catch you next time. Thanks for sticking around until the very end. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support my one-woman show, please subscribe and share it on social media or leave a rating and review. Those are the best ways to show your love and support for my work and will help this podcast to be found more easily, and that in turn helps this whole thing grow. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Mav Malone. Let's connect. My DMs are always open and I'd love to hear from you. If you want to stay up to date on the latest events, books, podcast episodes, and hear more from me, you can sign up for my Substack newsletter, Junk Drawer, at maverickmalone.substack.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.